podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL, Milan!
This was...
Let us not bury the lead here. I'm on wild card. 5 billion goals this past weekend. What's up, dude? How are you?
Yeah, not my best weekend of my life, but watch a lot of football, so that was fun.
Dude, the amount of sports I'm watching these days with the return of NFL and Prem is obscene.
Yeah, a lot. It's fun.
Before we go it's to great. Our teams, just want to say I've been writing, article, journal entry, diary, dear diary entry every night pretty much on just wildcard thoughts and what I'm doing and what I'm tinkering with and just stream of consciousness shit. So check that out at FMLFPL.com. And then also the Friday Twitch streams have been going really well. So if you want to come hang out, ask questions, whatever, join on Fridays, twitch.tv.
Yeah. And you know, we got a lot of new signups since the season started, so thank you all. We don't normally do that kind of thing here. Take you for granted, listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Fuckers. But thank you for supporting us. I mean, it helps us, you know, ad-free.
Oh my God.
Keep doing the pod.
I tell you we got a fucking...
Is that gonna be good?
We got a DM for advertising. I don't even want to give them the credit of saying the company's name, but it's the company.
Is it Apple?
No, they advertise on every podcast about shaving your fucking balls, and I was just like, "Sorry, bro, we don't do that here." not for us, dude. Like, thank God we don't have to do that kind of shit.
What are we, like NBC, just trying to cash grab?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
All right, so. Tell me about your week.
Let me get it out of the way. So 56 yeah. After a hit. I had the foresight to hit an Anguissa, thankfully.
You targeted the player.
Targeted
the
Anguissa.
Fixture.
Yeah, yeah. Targeted yeah. Leeds. Targeted my favorite guy.
Yeah.
But no, it was Bruno. It's fucking fuck.
So Bruno and Zambo in for Kai and Jota.
Yeah, so that on the face looks like a net positive, but I would have had 5 for Mitchell if I did nothing. So I would have. I came at -3 on the hit, but
which isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's great. It's fine.
This is fine.
I really had DCL. Woke up 4 in the morning on Saturday. Saw a hat trick. Was like, wow, this is great. This weekend's gonna be great. I'm so happy. All the goals of life this weekend, and I got no more goals for the rest of the weekend for my team. So it was really just a matter of staying afloat, and I got little bits and bobs. I mean, I had the assist from Obbs. I just captained Obbs, 10-pointer. Trossard had an assist, hit the post, could have had another assist, a little hard done by, but the assist I'll take, you know, got that. Anguissa got the assist. Ryan clean. Good job by me with Ryan. I'm happy with Ryan and Trent. So
without some that Brighton performance, you were fucked.
Yeah, the 12 for my two Brighton guys was big. I was, again, it's like, these are the weekends where, for me, when everything's kind of going awry, just staying afloat and not plummeting too far is okay. And I honestly, yes, Man United got absolutely pummeled by my team. I feel really good to have Bruno in, I feel really happy to have Bruno in, and almost kind of like more happy that he was awful because no one's getting him and everyone's just jamming in everyone.
Out.
Yeah. Everyone's jamming in Everton and City and shit and Wolves. I'm like, okay, I get that. But Bruno, he's going to just still get points. So he had a lot of key passes and he did play a lot deeper, but when Van de Beek came on, but I think he's just going to still be good. And he's someone I wanted before the season started, you know? So
yeah.
I'm glad I got him in, even though, you know, he didn't return for me the first game.
It's kind of amazing
us.
That I mean, I'm with you there. Like, it's more, almost more impressive to me that they can look that bad and Bruno still gets five key passes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember five shots. And it's he still almost gets points.
Yeah. Yeah. He almost got points a few times. And I'm not happy he got 2 points, yeah, but it's, I'm just happy to have him installed. And yeah. I mean, getting rid of Kai, he played half and got 1 point. Getting rid of a player who's transferred out like 0 points. And I mean, I love Anguissa. Fucking love Zambo. He's such a fucking
Zambo,
monster.
Dude.
I love him. But it was like a good, no problematic way to get him in. So that was a good thing. And you know, so whatever. That's it for me.
Net average was 57.27. You finished on 56. In a week to have like a bad week, you did pretty okay. And your rank's still good and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is when you have a bad week, to not be like 25 under the average and go down a million or 2 million. Right. I mean, I went down 500K, which is so much, but for everything pretty much going wrong after DCL, I feel like I got away with one.
Like, to put in perspective, my game week rank in game week one was 3.9 million. A million worse than your game week rank this week.
Yeah.
That's so much more detrimental. Yeah. It's crazy.
So how'd you do, Mr. Wildcard?
I flew this week.
Fly strength onto strength.
Yeah, fly Eagles, stocks. Fly 75
stocks
points.
Stocks go up.
Yeah, it all starts at the back with McCarthy. Just putting in a master class of a zero right there. Doing his Guan impression. No, but really, I mean, the Everton guys to start the week, you know, DCL Hattie, obviously. And then I went Ali to James, which was great. And
great.
He put up 12. Sticking with Mane, you know...
That's veteran.
So many people did Mane out, Mane to Kev, which worked out fine. Mane to Bruno, etc. You know, he's world class, and Liverpool are really good, and so he's going to get his points. You know, you never know when they're going to come, but he's going to get his points. He puts up 16, huge. Double Liverpool clean, absolutely massive. Allison with the pen save.
Allison saved your bacon there.
Juan saved me. And then Justin with the fucking goal.
Don't talk about him. We take those.
You know, I didn't hit up Pulisic. And the main guys I was considering were Mahrez, DNP, and Greenwood, who basically didn't play. So, you know, I feel pretty good about not doing that. KWP came in, got me 3. Fine. And now I'm on wildcard, so fuck the world. Fuck Pulisic.
So, you wildcarded before Sunday?
Yes.
If you sat and saw Mane brace, like, 35 million points from your triple Liverpool, would you have wildcarded?
I still think yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Mane points... It's funny, like, the Mane blank didn't want me to... didn't make me want to get rid of him last week, and the Mane points this week don't
Excuse
make me?
Me
want to keep him. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't really... They're not predictable. It's a good player.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he's not someone you want to hold long-term or feel better about your team because he banged a brace and you got the double clean.
No,
it wouldn't have mattered as much.
I still just see so many changes
Justin
when I look at the
goal.
Team. Justin's...
Because you got so many points on Sunday.
Yeah,
and Saturday.
Justin's temporary, right? Pereiro is going to be back in probably a few weeks or something, so he's not even a starter soon. You know, there's just other guys that I don't like. Pulisic is a red flag nightmare.
Hey, you know what? I'm just asking.
I'm just explaining, you know?
Yeah, that's a good job, babe.
Yeah, Captain Tony didn't come through. We both vice DCL because we're smart and good at the game.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Let's do the league update shit. So shout out to the FML Field Prize League Mug League. I'm doing the top three because I forgot we're doing... I don't know if we ever said this on Real Pod or just on Patreon
Pod.
But, okay. We're doing the top three every month, get the mugs, but only if you join before the month started.
And we're getting not the actual mug for second and third. It's a different design for
a lesser design. Blemish. So number one so far is Geoff Priesman, aka Beating All Shears. Phil McCofferty in second, aka Aston
is that
Yeah, yeah. Aston Villa. That's Davy C's, Phil. And then number three is Johnny Boggin, a.k.a. Bog Athletic, which I think is a really funny team name also. Okay. And then shout out to the leader of the Public League, Auden Hort, a.k.a. no idea how to pronounce it. Valle Loca. It's something. It's like a sweet. It's like a part of Oslo or something. Wanderers. So good job by him representing.
Cool. 110 this week. No problem.
Easy 110.
Kane's son, DCL Mitrovic.
Is that
normal?
Good?
Is normal.
So here we are, brother. Where do we begin?
There's so many. There's so much there's I want to talk about.
Too much to talk about. I'm on wild card.
Yeah. The main problem is that I watched 10 games. I watched every single yeah. game.
I watched 90 eight.
Minutes. I watched every game.
I watched 8.5 games. Yeah. Still a lot of minutes.
It's just so much swirling around in my mind. I don't know where to begin.
Let's begin. Do you want to do questions with Fly or? Eagles Fly, because we got four people. Okay. We got Do It, Kevin, Mr. T, Thomas Jones, all asking about Wilf. Is he going to keep it up? Is he going to stay at Forward? Is he going to stay at Palace? What's up with Palace? Is he real? Yeah. What's going on?
See, Wilf is just difficult for me right now to talk about, because you remember the last preseason pod, the single ball shout.
Yes.
Was Wilf for me.
I remember.
And here I am sitting here without 23 Wolves points.
Which here we is are now. Upsetting. Entertain us.
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
But realistically speaking, we're not going to keep playing the same team because we have Eze and we have Batson. So, you know, we go to Old Trafford and we do the thing with like Schlupp pressing, Towns pressing, IU pressing, and Wolf up top. And Wolf was more forward than IU. And that's nice for fantasy. And, you know, he took the pen that Jai was a diabolical attempt. But we don't know anything until really, like, we have Everton's going to be a tough game, then we have Chelsea, but, you know, Brighton, Fulham, those couple games, at that point, we'll have had a couple months of Bats and Eze in, or a month and a half, and we'll know what Woy is thinking about for our best 11, and we just don't know right now. I mean, a lot of it depends on if IU's going to be able to play the right, where Townsend's playing, and if Eze plays on the left, then Wilf could play up top with Bats, but you know, a lot of this is just changing the entire style that we play in if we do any of these things, which is concerning, because the way that we looked against at Old Trafford, right, we have McCarthy play. McCarthy's been really good, by the way. And you know I don't like him.
Yep.
But he has been really good with MacArthur. I mean, any team without Milivojevic, I'm going to love.
It's just incredible how much better it is.
Yeah. And, I mean, Schlupp made one successful pass game week one, was a little bit invis, but game week two against Manchester United, he was really good. You know, he was just disrupting. He was just his press and his work rate, it was just disruption.
Yeah, that's his best.
And so is Townsend.
Feature.
I mean, and IU. I mean, everyone was just pressing and doing really well. So the one thing I'm a little bit thinking about long term is like Woy's probably gonna play teams based on the opposition, which is gonna make it very difficult to pick FPL assets because I mean Eze is really young and you know he could play 2,000 minutes or 1,500 minutes and that would be fine, right? He plays when we play Fulham or Burnley or Newcastle, but he doesn't play in some of the other games. So I could imagine that the games that Wilf is good in are the tougher fixture games when he's playing like he did against Manchester United, like completely up top by like free roll,
basically
free
by
reign.
Himself up top. Yeah.
Yeah. And he can go left, right, anywhere, free roll, doesn't have to play defense. But, you know, if we put the other attackers in and then maybe we lose some balance in the midfield, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to just all of a sudden we play Fulham and we put all these attackers in and we score four goals. Like, that doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It could, but it doesn't seem like it to me. So, I mean, the basically the thing though with him is that he's 7 million and he's obviously a very good player, and when his head's on right, he was wearing the captaincy armband this weekend, which, you know, you love to see that. And, you know, the fixtures are really good for a while. We have a couple of red herrings in there, but for the next few months, I mean, we just had, you know, we have a couple tough fixtures like coming up, but he's probably going to tick along with some assists and goals. I mean, he's not going to be scoring 20 this year. You know, he has 3 and 2. He scored like fucking 3 goals last year all year, basically. So I think like it's kind of a perceived like with 15 caution.
If he plays forward, but that's a huge if.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to happen. So I think more around 10 is...
It sounds like
you
love him as an FPL pick. Or you just want to wait and see is what you're saying.
Yeah, my problem is I want to see what happens when the other players are introduced. Because we're not... If this is our team, if we didn't have Bats and Eze, I'd be like, buy him yesterday. Absolutely. Because this is the only thing we can do.
This is the lineup, yeah.
This is the only thing we can do. But when we have the other guys in... I don't know if that's going to make him better or worse, like where he's going to play, what's going to happen. I just don't know. So that's the concern for me.
Got it. Okay. So we're monitoring there.
Yeah. I don't think, what do you think? Did you see, I mean, you watched the game, do you?
I agree with you totally. I mean, if he was, I've been saying for like 3 years, just playing at forward, he's so much better there. His production is crazy there. He scores goals there, but Roy hasn't done it. And then this season, all of a sudden he's up top. I agree with you. You just don't know. It's all about the positioning to me. Most of his career, he's been left wing or left mid in a 4-4-2. And he's not that good in FPL. He's okay. But, like, earns his value just, maybe. But there was... I guess it was a Benteke injury 2 years ago or something like that, where he was out for, like, 3 months. And it was 4-4-2 every week. It was Wilf and Towns, striker, every
before
week.
Before was here.
And he scored, like, 9 goals in 3 months or something. And it was like, oh my God, he's fucking amazing. Yeah. And so, if he plays up top, I want him. If not, I don't want him. Simple.
I mean, and I think it is like, if we played one game with Batson and Wilf was still playing striker with him, then that's all I would want. That's all I need to see.
That's it. And that lineup makes a lot of sense to me. It's just dropping IU as they plays left wing or left mid. You know, that's it. That's it.
The problem with me with doing that is I don't know if we're going to be able to have the pressing that's good enough. Because Townsend and IU do so much. And Wilf doesn't. So he does, but he does it more just like chasing lost causes. And Eze doesn't. I mean, he does press a little bit, but he doesn't play defense. And Bats, like, kind of. I don't know. I just don't know.
That's fair. Yeah. Like, Schlupp can cover a left back.
Eze's
not going to be playing left back.
10 miles a game. I don't know. He doesn't stop running. He's a mad
Klopp
man. He's all over.
Klopp would just throw him in. Okay, so that's good. Wilf, hot topic.
I can't believe I didn't start with him, though.
Very upsetting. Got to trust the balls. Got to look your balls in the mirror every week and trust them. A couple of Liverpool questions. Ozzy said, is there a way we can predict which side of the pitch Liverpool will target against their upcoming teams? Do you think Arsenal, Villa, Everton, Chef are more Mo games or Mane games? And then Stewie, the normal question we get 50 times a year. You probably never get asked this, but Mo or Mane? So where are you at? I mean, 1 week Mo hat tricks, the next week Mane braces. What do you make of this?
I mean, I was still really encouraged by Mo's performance. Like, he took up more role of a chief creator, but he still shot a lot. I mean, his stats were still fine this game. And Mane obviously looked better, but I think that Mo's just going to continually get points every game, like every other game or whatever, like he always has. And the Pens look like it's a big deal this year, and... I always like Mo. I'm always like a Mo guy. He always gets more penalty area touches. He always has more goal attempts than Mane. Like, every game is just more chances created.
More involved
in
general, yeah.
Yeah, like, he had 5 chances created, and Mane had 0 last week, you know? And he still took, you know, he took 4 shots to 3, Mo to Mane, right? I mean, Mane came in with a brace, but Mo's just, he does that on blanks. And when he comes in with hat tricks, like, he does triple that. And I just always feel like he's a better pick. But, you know, you definitely saw Trent being more involved. So Mo kind of came outside of the penalty area a lot more, right? So they're both sort of like creating to Mane, which is what we were talking about last year. And
it must be said, one of the goals is just the howler of all howlers from Kepa. Yeah. That's not like a repeatable thing that happens often.
No, that's
often.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair.
No, but I mean, I'm with
I mean,
you
I'm
basically.
Always gonna
I
like
mean,
Mo.
To me, it's like almost, there. It's like two questions. One question is like, who would you hold long-term? And I don't think that's even an argument. Mo is way better. bake in the pens, which, like you said, there's been a ton of pens this season with the new fucking handball and all that shit. And honestly, better VAR decisions, it seems like to me. And yeah. Mo is just so much more involved in everything, you know, double digit assists every year for the last three seasons since he's come. He's the guy you want to hold long term. When it comes for like a short window of time, like a captaincy, I don't know if it's predictable. It might just be a coin flip game to game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so like I don't think there's any specific indicators of like Arsenal, Villa, Everton, like what side are they going to build? I don't think it's like that. I don't think you can figure it out.
Nor do I think it's important to look at, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, the opponent letting a lot more attacks down the left than the right. Like, okay.
Yeah.
When you look at Liverpool's team, it's just like Trent Rabo and then Mane, whoever's playing in the midfield, you know, Bobby doing things. And like any game can be anything. Like yeah. You don't know before the game starts ever. You know, who's going to be the point of like creation or who's right. going to be getting in the box, whatever. Right. They look at it different, you know, and honestly, it's Rabo still puts in 5,000 crosses and who's on the end of those? It's going to be Mo, right? Or yeah, whatever. Exactly. It's going to be, and it's just they take turns and they're just a juggernaut. So I don't think it really makes sense to use your time to try and evaluate the opposition to see if, you know, left totally or right agree. Flank or Mo or Mane. It's just, you go both, you pick one, you know, if you subscribe to the home away thing, okay, fine, you know, then do that. But, you know,
No, I was just going to say, even the home away thing kind of.
No, I mean, I don't. I think that's bullshit.
I think it's complete bullshit. Like, when you look at the numbers, yes, Mo scores more goals at home than he does away. But we know that goals aren't a good predictor of future goals. That's why we use XG and other advanced stats, right? When you look at advanced stats, every team in the league, pretty much except City, has a large percentage more home goals than away goals. And it matches up with the XG also. Mo has almost the identical percentage more goals away goals than the team does. It's just teams are better at home. That's just what it is. I hate that shit so much. People like overuse these kind of micro, tiny sample size stats to try and reason out their captaincy or something.
That's the thing is like they're looking for any grasping thing to reason. Yeah. Like this is what I want to find. So this is something that supports it, but it doesn't really mean it that much.
It doesn't mean anything.
It's not a deciding factor or something that really is going to lead me to believe that this is the case moving forward because. Again, with that too, is we watch the games, and I don't watch the games and see Mo playing like DM in away games, and I'm like, oh yeah, Mane definitely has a different role. It's like they're both still exploding and doing the same things forward as they do home or away. You know, it's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So.
I'm with you there. Yeah. A bunch of City questions, obviously, as they had their first game. So, you know, Max with the ho-hum, Kevin versus Raz. Liam asking how to approach City assets on wildcard. Do you go long-term value picks or do you go short-term explosivity for captaincy? Byrne said now that Gundo has COVID, is Foden more nailed? And then Neil said is waiting to bring in City assets until after Leicester okay? Or would you prioritize getting someone in now? A lot of questions.
It's straightforward, but also difficult with City, I think, because the players are so expensive, right?
Except Foden.
Kevin and Raz are so expensive. I mean, even Jesus at 9.5 is not a snip. He's not easy to fit in. You have to make a compromise to put him in.
Yep.
Phil's cheap, but obviously he played well today. He scored the goal. He got the tap and was in the right place, right time. But, you know, this is, you know, we know what his limitations are and it's going to always be minutes. And okay, yeah, Gundo didn't play, but I mean, that didn't affect Foden. He played because Mahrez didn't play, right?
Exactly.
We saw Fernandinho and they're dropping in mid. So Bilv's probably going to be back in a couple weeks. You know with Foden what you're getting, right? He's going to probably find points when he plays, but he's going to also not play a lot. And he wasn't very good today. He did his job, but he was very peripheral in terms of just, you know, occupying space. He dropped in into midfield like a few times to kind of find the ball and alleviate pressure there. But, you know, playing up on the right, like they're definitely not looking to go to him or build. Like when he's upright, like they're going to the left to Raz. Like that's what they're trying to do today, mm-hmm. from what I was watching. And, you know, he got in the box a few times and he had another shot that he flashed wide, but I mean, his numbers weren't good. I mean, he didn't like create anything. He didn't look good, like stats wise.
And yeah, basically had one big chance and scored it.
Yeah. And he was just peripheral to me, you know, and maybe that's what he's going to be doing, because he is, you know, the lesser of most of the other players out there, you know, with Jesus, Raz, Kevin doing most of the things. And with Mahrez, if Mahrez comes in and he does play in midfield, then we'll see. But it's the same thing with 6-5. I didn't watch the game basically and see like Foden start like, oh my God, he was incredible. Like he's definitely going to be playing next. I'm just like, okay, he might just not play next game. Like he's whatever.
I just don't know. I feel like we've never really had this kind of situation where there's like Foden and Mahrez, both good picks, both good value, both not going to play all the minutes. It's such a weird situation to me. But I mean, the big difference with Mahrez is like, and they'll both score goals, I think. You know, if they both play like 2,000 minutes, they'll both score goals. But Mahrez can get 14 assists like he did last season. And like Foden's not going to do that. Like basically what you're saying, like when Mahrez is in there, the buildup is equally on his side left as it is right. on Raz's side. Like he's isolated with the fullback. Yeah. He's taking guys on all the time, creating shit, drawing pens. It was not like that with Foden at all.
Yeah. Foden, the more I watch Foden is just, I don't know why he keeps playing him in the front three. Like he's just not, he doesn't do what they need him to do in that position. He doesn't do what that position needs to do in this like City team.
Everyone, including us, and the media and everyone was thinking like Foden is the guy going to replace Dilv. That was like the narrative.
He's never played
for
that position.
2 years. He's played there maybe once.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's incapable of like depressing or like not a good enough passer or like, I don't know what it is.
Positionally, defensively maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what it is, but he's the best training guy that Pep's ever seen in the fucking history of the human race, but he can't play the one position that like is open for City. Like, if he's good enough, it's yours for the running. Yeah. But like, I don't know. That's kind of problematic to me. As for the Leicester question, when I saw that question, I always say that like Liverpool and City shit on their faces last season and like ruined their season basically. But I pulled the numbers because I wanted to like emphasize how much City and Liverpool dominate Leicester. And last season in the four games, Leicester scored one goal on 0.1 XG, one goal on 1 XG, 0 goals on 0.1 XG, 0 goals on 0.7 XG in four games. And they conceded 2 goals on 3.7 XG, 3 goals on 3.5 XG, 4 goals on 3.7 XG, 1 goal on 2.4 XG. They got completely fucked. Like, when I see, I know Leicester's good, but when I see City, Leicester, or Liverpool, Leicester, I'm thinking captaincy. Like, I'm not thinking, like, this is a top six team, could be a hard game. I'm thinking, like, City score between 3 and 5 is what I expect. So that's how I feel about that fixture.
Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if they don't score 3. Yeah. They definitely took the foot off the gas in the second half today.
Yeah, they were weirdly defensive. Yeah.
Yeah. They just kind of stopped going for it, it seemed like. And, you know, the 3 points, they got there in the end.
First game, Fernandinho in. Yeah.
But I agree with you there. I guess this is a lot more team specific, but I don't see the reason why waiting is good. You know, I mean, what are you using your transfers on? Like, this should be what you're using your transfer on, probably, is the City player. So just because Leicester's on paper with 6 points doesn't mean they're good. They're fucking horrible. If you watched either of their games, you would see that.
You get the City players in. Things that we, like, there were a lot of questions that I sifted through that were like what you were saying, like, oh, should I use my transfer on, like, I'm my keeper, like this shitty guy. I'm just like, no, to all of them. It's like, I think one of the big takeaways from this week, and it, you know, it's still really early and who knows what's going to happen, etc. But City and Liverpool, we get reminded over and over, and seemingly half the community forgets, are there's a massive gulf between them and the other teams. Massive gulf in every way. And I don't know, people just don't accept it or something.
Yeah, No, I mean, I agree with you.
As for Liam's question with the long-term, short-term...
What about the Kevin versus Raz? Because that's a thing.
That's a more relevant question. I mean... The pens are a huge factor.
That's the only thing I care about.
It's a huge factor.
That's
it.
I mean, that's the deciding factor to me. It's Hugo Kevin there with the pens.
I don't want to get into a big discussion about it, but it sucks that that's the deciding factor. Like, I hate pens.
Well, that's
your problem. I hate that we're getting all the pen takers. Like, that, I hate that that's a big part of the game is
I got Bruno. He got 2 points, so fuck me, right?
No,
I don't know
what I mean. But
no, I know what you mean.
It's like I wish it mattered a lot more. Just the open play goals and what they do and stuff. Saiz 2 foot fucking slides in for no reason and he gets a massive haul. Yeah. Like, come on,
But that doesn't mean that it's correct. We saw with Baines Coleman a couple of years ago, right? When we were like, okay, we'll get Baines because he's on pens, and Coleman got so many more points for the last few months of the season a couple of years ago. It doesn't mean that Kevin's going to get more points than Raz. It just means to me that the chances in the next month or two before Kuhn comes back, or even longer if even Kuhn's back and he is on pens, that's enough. And it might be wrong, but
of course it might be wrong. It's silly to go away with the pens, especially with how frequently they've been called this season. It's just on the gambling pod, I put it very simply when I was comparing guys on pens or off pens for the golden boot bet. And it was just well, this guy has a 5-goal head start. So who are you going to pick least. Now? And it's there's no question. There's just no
DCL.
Question.
DCL.
Yeah. Fucking DCL! All right. Yeah, that's City. Anything else on City you want to talk about?
Jesus is really good.
He's a massive part of my wild card tinkers.
Yeah, people forget, very quickly, but he was shitting points when Cocoon was out post-restart last year.
Yeah.
Month.
Yeah.
So, 9-5, he was 9, I think, last year, but he was 9-5, too, I don't know, but he's... really good. I mean, he could have had a brace at least today. Typical Jesus game, where he had really good chances. He fucked him. He did get his goal. But, you look at the next four, Leicester, Leeds, Arsenal, West Ham. He's good. He's good. He's great. He's just a great pick. So
the
don't forget
with
about
Jesus,
him.
And it's this way with a lot of players. I would throw Richarlison in there. And honestly, Mo probably belongs in there. Maybe not so far this season, but in other seasons, it's people get frustrated with missing chances, but the better, more repeatable skill is just getting the chances in the first place. And Jesus gets a ton of chances.
A ton of chances.
He will lead the league in XG probably if he started a whole season.
Yeah.
And he's going to underperform it, but whatever. he's going to get a ton of points on the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely with you there. Couple Man United question. I figure we're just going to rally through all these questions and then tangent whenever we need to. But Wary Painter said, Manchester United are playing Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, Everton in the next 6. Fixtures don't seem good, but they were better against good teams last season. Do we expect that to continue this season? And LR said, what's your read of the Brighton versus United game?
Yeah, they looked like it was the first game of the season for them with very little preseason. And, that 11 probably hadn't played together in months, if ever. I mean, they had...
James, Fosu-Mensah, Scott.
See, this is the other thing, right? You watch the team and, we talk about... We could talk about this with any team, right? If Liverpool played fucking Minamino and Ox instead of Mo and but you watch them play with James and fucking McTominay and Fosu-Mensah, the balance is gone. Absolutely
McTominay.
Gone. McTominay is very bad. And Fosu-Mensah is, I don't know. I just don't understand how they still have him. It's just ridiculous.
Crystal Palace reject and fullback backup number one.
The balance was all wrong. The Pogba was fucking awful. Pogba was awful. And it was just a mess. But they have really good players still, and they're going to get into fitness in the next week or two. And we know what they did post restart, right? We saw them for once they got Bruno in, they were good and scoring goals for fun. And I, even though their manager is really bad and stupid, they were good in spite of that. And, you know, even though, you know, we remember the Manchester United teams of 90s under Sir Alex Ferguson when this happened and we pulled the scruff by our neck and we bounced back the next game and, you know, we're going to be okay. It's like, okay, Ole, great. Like, not managing the team, just managing the fans' expectations, and the media is really all he can do. He's a PR muppet, but the names on the backs are going to get it done to me. And yes, they've got Spurs and Chelsea and Arsenal coming up, but you know, I still feel confident that they're going to put points on the board and score goals. They just need, you know, they need some more fitness, I think, and just some more reps. So I'm not worried. I'm just not worried.
Yeah. I'm basically the same, with a caveat of, I was saying this whole time that they're really bad against buses, and then I still captained Tony against Palace. And last season, that was true. I remember doing it because of Rashford, not post Bruno, but they were so much better against teams that wanted possession and teams that pressed them and stuff like that, because they're so much better on the counter. Like, all of their front players are better on the counter, and Bruno and Pogba passing to those players is ridiculous. They're insanely good at passing. So, yeah, I mean, I think to Wary's question, I think that you could see that, and that wouldn't surprise me at all if they were looking better and more explosive against the good teams than they do against the buses, where they did still kind of struggle even post restart last season. They just had a really hot finishing that kind of made up for it. You know what I mean? So they're a tough one, but I'm mostly with you there. I mean, I still think that, like, Bruno, Tony mostly are just going to get their points by nature of just...
Yeah, and I think both is... Like, you don't want to be on both unless you see them unsung, right? So they're just, okay, question marks, fitness, blah, 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 blah. Like, one's good, like, zero's fine, but two's like, ugh, like, it doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, I mean, they're good. They're still a good team. This is the thing is, you know, we get in the echo chamber of, cities, like all these City players scored goals and Mane scored and Son, like, you know, so no Manchester United players, don't get any. They're all bad. They didn't score this week. They look bad. They're bad, right?
Yeah.
Not bad. Like, if you're a wild card or you're thinking about it, like, make sure you understand the risk of overlooking or looking at this one data point and using it as a, okay, I'm gonna avoid, like, that, you know, that, okay, is it right or wrong? You know, that you're just aware of what you're doing and not just falling into it, you know?
Yeah, people are just too rash in it, and all of those types of decisions, too rash.
Rashford was really bad. Holy shit.
Disaster. But, like, yeah, I mean, they'll look good on the counter against those top teams, and everyone will, it'll all swing the other way after, like, Sun will blank and they'll look good on the counter, and then everyone's gonna jizz over Rash.
Sun to Rashford, question mark for a hit.
It's just over and over again. These teams are all good. The thing that I don't like about Manchester United is that they're priced like they're the third best team, third best attack in the league, and I think they're fourth at best. Like, could be fifth, you know, for all we know. But, like, I think Chelsea's way ahead, or will be way ahead.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Why?
Because they had two fucking ridiculously bad performances, and they have all new players.
That's why I corrected it with will be way ahead. But they were way ahead with way worse players last season. Way ahead. Not close.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with bad manager and bad manager. I mean, he's putting his players in positions to be bad. Franklin.
Yes.
So, I mean, he could continue to do that. We don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah, but I'm projecting forwards. I don't know anything. You know, I expect them to be way better, and they were way better with worse players last season. So I think it's reasonable. United haven't strengthened.
Were they way better after Bruno came in?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, United blew the doors down because they were, like, overperforming. They didn't blow the doors down.
Yeah, but they should overperform because they have good players.
Yeah, Chelsea was second to City post restart.
Okay.
Non-penalty is City, Chelsea, Liverpool, United, West Ham.
Okay. Well, Antonio can't be stopped.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think United's still a safe hands. I agree with you. The prices, they got the hike, which is tough. I still think, Bruno at 10.5, I still think, and Martial at 9 is very good. I just think both of those players are good and good value and good prices and good picks.
Yeah, I just, like, we see what City does also. A million more for Raz or Kev. I'm just like, please, yeah, so much better.
Yeah, that's fair.
United.
And what about the game for the weekend to appease?
Oh, yeah, Brighton. Well, on paper, Brighton are a team who want possession all the time and probably are going to concede some counters, right? So I feel like on paper, that should be a pretty good, game for United because they get to counter. But Brighton look really good. They've had two really good performances. So
it's going to be a good game for sure.
It'll be really interesting. Yeah. I kind of expect United to blow them away on the counter.
Oh my God. I have fucking four guys in 4:30 game on Saturday. That's not good.
That's
for
the
me.
First game on Saturday?
Don't like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's mistakes in the Brighton back line, and United on the counter are going to like be lethal. But don't underestimate Brighton.
Brighton's a good team.
Yep. Let's go to just generic questions now, I guess. That's all the ones that are grouped up now. So the first question's, speaking of Chelsea, Sam Sirius said, is Kai a hold for the next few fixtures, or is a move to James the easiest decision?
It's the West Brom's difficult, right?
Yeah.
To get rid before West Brom's really tough.
Brom is best or second best. Oh, it's away?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. But
it's still
that's difficult to get rid before that fixture. I probably would hold, because if there's a game that, they score four and, you look at them after that, and you're like, okay, all these players are fine and they're fine. Like, this is the game to put them on a different trajectory.
This is the game where they become bandwagon. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Palace, Southampton afterwards both at home, aren't too bad. I would probably hold him, but that's a tough hold.
Because
he's in a price drop. He's looked bad, ripped off at half.
Yeah. But the other thing also is Everton have away Palace. Like, that's not a great attacking fixture. So it's not necessarily the type of fixture I want to, like, bring in an attacker for. Even though they look great and James looks great, it makes it maybe a little easier to hold.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That'll probably be a lot of midfield that game.
Yeah.
We got a lot of fouls and
I don't know. We'll see how it's a big test for both, but even more so Everton. Like, how good can they be?
Well, it's probably going to be pretty similar to the Spurs game.
Yeah. But are they going to keep getting better with all their new guys? And I don't know. I was looking at some DCL numbers, dude. He is, he's such a funny player. He can't pass.
He doesn't need to pass.
No, but, like, he just can't. It's, like,
well,
unbelievable.
He like, chest downs and heads, like, hold-up shit.
He has one key pass in the season, zero passes in the final third, zero passes in the box, zero progressive passes, 25 total attempted passes in 180 minutes, or, like, almost 180 minutes.
He doesn't need to pass,
I agree, but it's just...
It's not important.
It's just amazing. Like, I'm just, like, he's just, like, a... You just funnel everything to him, and he's going to get a pretty good shot off. I love it.
He's good.
Yeah, he's great. He's so good. Couple Podencio questions. Luke on Twitter said, is it Podence time, especially for those of us on wildcard, or does the signing of Semedo hinder his opportunities with the Dama maybe push forward? And Barrick said, in terms of 5-5 mids, how do you compare Podence to Klitsch and Costa from Leeds? And Harrison, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Podence is good.
Yeah, he's good. The fixtures are really important there. I don't think that Semedo coming is going to be too big of a deal because, I mean, it'll push Adama up, but it seems like if he's playing 3-4-3 against fucking City, he's playing 3-4-3, right? He's not going to go back to 3-5-2.
No, but he played 3-5-2 against City.
Well, but Neto was still playing up, right? Wasn't he? He was in midfield. And
he was
up.
Ahead of Neves and Moutinho, but Podence and Jim were way ahead of him.
Okay. Yeah, so then that could be a concern if Adama's going to play up top, if they're going to 3-5-2 and he's not going to be able to play. Because we don't know if Potence can play, like Neto can do both or whatever, if Potence can play in midfield, and you know, I'm not sure. But at 5-5 with these fixtures upcoming, he's not going to play 3-5-2 in any of those. So it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Potence, he's clearly a very classy player, and at 5.5, you're not risking much. He has a couple assists. He almost scored a goal today. Yeah, he looks really good. West Ham, Fulham, Leeds, Newcastle, Palace.
Yeah.
Is there an anti-argument for him? Or
the only anti-argument I have is it's like a little bit more complicated on wildcard, I found. Like, why? I feel like if I had, you know, some bad midfielder and could just transfer him, that's a fine transfer and he's good and safe. But like, I don't know. It's just, you have to remember that Wolves are like in general a one or two goal team. They're not explosive at all.
Well, that's not true though, because they were, but if they're playing with 3-4-3 like they did against Sheffield United, then they have 3+ goals in them all the time.
Maybe. We haven't seen it. They scored 2 in that game with not great XG, you know, like it required a Ramsdale howler and you know, a Saeed.
I feel like they shut it down.
Launch.
I feel like they had more in them. Like they had a lot more about them going forward. There's a lot more space.
I think they were really exciting and looked good, but then they also conceded a ton of chances in the second half, which Nuno would not have liked. And
yeah,
I don't know.
So
if
you think he might go back to that?
Well, I mean, it's working. You know, they're really good. They're like the fifth or sixth best team in the league. So I don't know why he wouldn't. So it's just like a little bit like I've tinkered with him in. He's more of an enabler for me than someone I'm like extremely FPL excited for, because I'm just like, he'll probably get assists here or there, maybe a couple goals or something in their good run. And that's really good for 5-5. I just don't know if I want a 5-5 in general. You know what I mean? Like, I want higher ceiling, better guys is on my wild card, is why I'm saying it's harder on wild card.
I'm a lot higher on him than you are hearing you talk about him. I think he's an easy pick. Like on wild card, I think he's either your 3-4-3 your fourth guy, or 3-5-2 your fifth guy. At 5-5 is just, I mean, if he was 7, you know, I think he'll return like 7. 5-5 is fucking a joke.
It's a joke. And for 5 fixtures, he'll probably return
position,
like he's the 7 or something. But
I mean, that's why I paid $1 million more for Jota when I thought that was Jota, right?
But then when the fixtures are bad, I'm going to be like, why do I have a guy who's getting an assist every 4 games?
Dude, whatever, in fucking November, we could talk. You could use a transfer.
But that's the thing. I don't want to be using double changes to fix my 5-5 mid, because there's no one else good remotely in his price range.
Yeah, I think that's overly cautious.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it depends on the rest of your team if you have other issues that you're not that sure about.
Like, I haven't been tinkering with anyone cheaper than James so far in my attack, you know? So, like...
Yeah, okay.
That's just where I've been at, but, you know, I'm not done tinkering at all. That's what I mean when I'm saying, like, he's just not in there right now.
Yeah, I think you should start playing with him a little more. Touching him, feeling him.
I love watching him a lot.
You need to touch and feel him.
He's good. Tim, is Ralph an example of the kind of manager you're talking about who you can trust to recognize problems and correct course? He did it last year. If you're trying to not spend transfers on defenders, is KWP a hold? What about the other Southampton assets?
So I mentioned it to you in passing as just kind of like a glib comment. And then I kind of looked a little bit more into it, and I'm totally in on Ralph conspiracy theory, just suiciding the game to get them to
get more transfers,
because you have to have maybe never watched a game of football to see what was happening in that game and to keep doing it.
I know.
50 more minutes. It was just ridiculous.
I've never seen anything like it. It was Mexico versus Germany shit. It's just like over and over again.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
And, you know, I do feel like that has to be, there has to be something either wrong with him and they're going to get relegated, or he was just like, hey, bored, we've bought nobody and I need players. So this is what's going to happen, and we're going to lose by 5 goals every game.
Yeah. I also was thinking earlier when it was a total like shower thought, was like, Mourinho is, it's almost like a baptism to like play against Mourinho team. It's like you have to, that's like a Premier League only thing in the last decade where it's like you have to just kind of get used to playing Mourinho teams to know what to do. And I feel like part of it was just like Ralph being like, oh my God, this fucking guy, like one attack, won't push anyone beyond midfield, and just like pushing his team up, and then just gets like dumpstered on. And every other manager is like, yeah, lol, like that's what Mourinho does. Like, you just have to get used to it. And Ralph is just like, not ready. Wasn't ready. Yeah. Wasn't
he's like
to
too
it.
Stubborn to.
Yeah,
to
he's
accept.
Just like this. Like, I feel like he's just so mad.
So and mad.
Moo's just like the happiest he's ever been. He's just like, yeah. Oh my God, fresh meat. Like, I get to expose him and look like a good manager for once. I don't know. So, it was, long story short, they look bad, but KWP's. Fine. I'm not using a transfer on a 4-5. It's like, I don't know.
They also have Burnley, West Brom coming up. So
that's very important.
You know, this is right. I mean, you're obviously going to have no Southampton players in your team after the wild card, and yeah. You're going to see McCarthy like 7-9 next 2 games.
Oh my God. Penalty save, so, 14 pointer. Like, yeah.
I think, you know, you definitely hold on for those two, because even though Southampton did just get dumpstered, those could be good point returners.
Yeah.
For
I
you.
Mean, soon after that is Villa, Newcastle also.
It's yeah, like, which could be good as well. We'll see. But let's just 1 week at a time, because there's a lot changing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we had other questions, but what do you make of this Spurs situation, the Spurs resurgence?
Yeah, I mean, that was Ryan's question, so I'll just read it. Did Spurs win at Saints? Tell us anything about Spurs' attack other than Saints being terrible, and do we expect Spurs to be business as usual under Mu when they play better defenses than the Saints? And yes is my answer. I mean, I...
To which part?
To yes, I expect them to be more like normal Moo, not create much, not score much.
Well,
and
this was normal Moo.
Right. It required the other team literally rolling a red carpet out to be like, please fuck us hard.
Yes.
And they fucked. Yep. You know? And even still, they're like overperforming XG. Even when Sun in a 1v0, they're still overperforming. They had like 5 shots, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I don't think most teams do that. We know that the bottom 10 teams in the league don't do that, except for Southampton. They all just will park and make it really difficult for them. And then the top teams, yeah, there'll be more opportunities to counter, but they're not as bad. So, yeah, I mean, I still don't think they're, like, great. The thing that I said to Nate when he was like, it was lucky that he got the Sun points, is, like, there's the Venn diagram. Really good elite players, elite finishers is one of them, and Sun's in that. Like bad, like conservative bad tactics for FPL and whatever's Moo. And in the middle of that Venn diagram, sometimes they do good things and score goals.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing with Sun too, that, you know, it's difficult for me anyway, because I definitely have a bias against Mourinho attacking assets in general when I watch the team, and it just disgusts me, like you're talking about. And they just concede possession to eighth place teams. Like, that's how he sets up. Sun is sort of just an out of position striker.
He is. He totally is.
So when you look at that, like a 9 million out of position striker, he's not playing on the touchline left wing like he did sometimes post restart last year. Right now, anyway, that's a good pick. You know, that's a good pick.
Yeah,
that's a good pick. And so I don't think if you're like getting him in that you're chasing points. I think you're still looking at a player who, when they play managers who have half a brain and know what Mourinho's trying to do, he'll struggle, and the team will struggle because they don't create a single fucking thing because they suck. But if you're playing something like Ralph, or, I mean, Steve Bruce coming up, or Ole coming up, or, you know, well, Moyes and Dyche will know what to do, and Potter will too, but, you know, Bilic or Pep, right? Well, not Pep, but, you know, I feel like you target the dumb managers, honestly, is like, that's the thing, because
but even
they do Pep, the same fucking thing every game.
Even Pep, even fucking, you know, the good managers, like, they have... And that's, like, why Mourinho has been successful. Part of the reason is, like, they have no other option. Like, they're not going to not try and take advantage of the possession and push guys forward and stuff. That's what they do. And Sun is really, really good and, like, one of the top finishers in the world by all numbers, stats we can tell, you know? So even in the games where he just gets two half-decent shots, that could be a goal. So, yeah, I mean, I mostly agree with you. And the thing I wanted to add on is just, I mean, the halftime sub of Lo Celso was, he was involved in everything. All of those stats that are, like, chain and build up and all that shit, he's the giant fucking circle in the middle of the pass map guy who's just, like, he got the ball to Kane, who got the ball to Son over and over and over again. And, like, we talked about it last week, how Ollie's not a number 10. And if Lo Celso takes that role, they're going to be a lot better in attack because he's so good at passing and so good on the ball. Kane's the 10. Kane's like the false 9 and Lo Celso's the deep 10 or some shit. Like, I don't know what to call him, but regardless, it makes him better.
Son, dude, I don't know. It's
just too many good guys. What am I doing?
I'm like blind with Son. It's like I don't even know.
Like Spurs and Leicester are, you're just done. You have no idea.
I have no idea. Fucking no. But I do know that I have Dyer and he's awful.
Even Gavin. He's awful. Come on, you Spurs, Gavin in Discord messaged me and was just like, Dyer's so bad.
He's so bad.
He's incredibly bad.
That's like, okay, guys, like block it all out. The only thing I'm going to do is own Dyer, and he's so fucking horrible.
Dyer, Davinson.
Dyer and like Shaw, it's like I get the worst players on these teams.
Yeah, worst players on the...
It's so annoying.
The worst player in the back line. It's like, why are they the cheapest? Oh, yeah, that's why they're the cheapest. Yeah. They're both getting replaced in the transfer market.
Oh, yeah. Tell us. Coming in. Great. Yeah, bye, Shaw.
Jerry, how significant do you think No Bissouma will be for Brighton, particularly bearing in mind captaincy for next week? So we just talked about Brighton United. But, yeah, No Bissouma is probably pretty big. But I think Dale Stevens can do a job. Like, he's...
Well, I actually just saw an Athletic article about... Guess who's trying to buy Dale Stevens?
No.
Who? Burnley.
Oh, my God. He's too good for them.
They said in the article that, like, 2 years ago, they made 6 offers to Dale Stevens in the same window, and they all got rejected.
That's Dyche incredible.
Just, like, he's his Jack Cork 2.0. He's just like, I want Dale Stevens so badly.
Oh, my God. Well, hopefully he starts, because if it's Lallana or Alzate at the end...
It could be, like, Proper's same. Proper. You know, he's the same. So I'm not too worried about Bissouma for this game. But it could be Lallana, Alzate, and Proper. Like, that functions to me.
Yeah, I think so.
My head kind of does the same thing.
Ember, why are all the defenses broken? Even teams like Burnley have plenty of data on or letting 4 pass. Is this trend due to improved attacks like Everton or worse defenses like Southampton or both?
Well, I mean, I take great issue with citing Burnley, throwing them under the bus when they have Dunn, Long, Taylor, Bardsley backline. Like, that's
and
not acceptable.
One of the goals is an own goal.
Yeah, that's not an acceptable thing to prove your point, because we know that that's not the normal Burnley. But generally, broadly speaking, the bad teams are really bad. Like, we have the relegation teams are bad. Leeds, in terms of defense, right? Like, Leeds...
Yeah.
Leeds might keep 2 clean sheets this season.
Leeds, Fulham, and West Brom, it, like, almost doesn't count when they concede 3 plus. That's so, what I expect every game.
Every game. That's the thing. It's, like, every game. Like, Sheffield United are suddenly, you know, Egan... God bless you.
So
red card machine.
So
just
good.
Absolutely can't get away from red cards. West Ham, I mean, Villa... There are a lot of bad defenses. That's the thing. Like, Southampton playing this fucking high line against everyone. There are a lot of bad defenses.
Yeah, I don't
really
think there's, like, a reason. I don't think there's something in the air or no fans or anything like that. It's just sometimes
Newcastle.
That happens. But,
and it's also 2 weeks in, dude. It's 2 weeks. It's such a small sample.
Also, Burnley, they conceded 3 or more 7 times last season. Like, they're good.
Yeah, they get done against a good team.
Yeah, like,
they shut it down
against
the
bad
teams.
But, they usually get fucked by the good teams. Zico said, how do we get the fixture ease right? Palace shocked us versus Manchester United, while West Ham had a solid defense. What are we looking at exactly when it comes to fixture ease? And then Vax followed up on
I don't think
that.
West Ham had a solid defense.
Vax followed up on that and said, building on the above, which 3 to 4 defenses are actually really bad and worth targeting? So we basically just had this conversation, but Fulham and West Ham and Leeds all seem very obvious. Yeah. Those are all 1A, 1B, 1C. I won't even put them in order.
Yeah, there's no need to order them. It's just, you know, you look at, I think that's how I look at captaincy right now is who plays those three teams, which of the teams that plays those three is the best, and which of that team do I have a player on?
I should try that on my wild card. Just literally fixture ticker like those three teams and just be like, okay, I want that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy.
Yeah.
And take it from there.
I almost feel like Leeds is the best team to captain against.
Yeah, but
the players are better.
I agree, but yeah,
it's in fucking ridiculous what they do all game.
The only thing that I was gonna say, and I have no data or anything to back this up, but just from my head, is like, I agree they're gonna like be the best captaincy. They could concede the most goals in the league this season. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But
yeah,
I feel like it's gonna be like less predictable who scores against them sometimes because it's so hectic. Like, City are going to play them. Like, who's the best City guy for the Leeds fixture? I have no idea.
The guy on your team.
It could
be
like Cancelo getting free 1v0. Like, I have no idea. They could score 7, but like.
No, but what is. That doesn't mean anything. What are you. So
it doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm agreeing. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I have more confidence, like, home Fulham that my main guy, the striker, is going to score. Then I think home Leeds.
I don't, because I think with Leeds, like, I feel like the game's going to be so much more open that there's just going to be more space, more opportunity, like better XG chances than even though Fulham, the names on the back of their shirts are way worse. Like when you watch them play, except for Zambo.
As long as he's in, that's a pen game.
Whoever's a pen taker against Leeds, fucking Lundstrom's going to have 30 points this week.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the team that's open versus the bus. Like, that's why, like, I'd like that Leeds more than even Fulham or West Brom.
Yep. And Raggett said, is it time to dump Leeds defender? It's a joke.
Yeah, it's,
having any
terrible.
Leeds defenders or their
it's
keeper
terrible.
Is an actual joke. It seems
that
like...
That was a big scam.
Well, yeah. I mean, it sort of makes weird sense when you think about, like, how many better players there are in the Prem, right? It's like you can play that open and maybe get away with it and maybe like the bad guys will miss more chances or not be able to take advantage of the press. But like these teams, these regular Premier League teams are used to getting pressed to fuck. Like even Southampton presses, you know, like Liverpool, they play Liverpool, they play City, they practice against these teams. Like they know how to counter and beat a press.
And it's also with Leeds is like a really good rule of, you know, you want to pick your defender for the clean sheet first. Like you look at, you know, Dallas, like everyone's like, oh, like Dallas so attacking,
and
Dallas has an assist in 2 games. He has 4 total points and they played fucking Fulham. Like they played Fulham last game, you know? So, I mean, granted they ship 4 to Liverpool, but that's the thing is, you know, you get one clean sheet. If you have one clean sheet from Lascelles, who doesn't know what attacking is, you have more points than Dallas on both those games. Like you want to always think about the clean sheet first, attacking intent second, you know? So just something to also
Ailing
just keep in
one
mind.
Point.
One.
He looks awesome.
He looks
you watch
great.
The game, you're like, he's a player. Wow.
He's great.
Ailing, attacking,
one
right? But
it's
one
point.
Fucking point.
Yeah, he's not good.
Fucking Pulisic has almost the same points. Ross, what is the best way to exploit the Wolves fixture run? I'm leaning on double D and Potence for value, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. So,
yeah, I really don't like double D. I think at most you want one. Yeah, I just don't think that they're doing the same thing that they've done. I think they're playing more open. There's just more space, and they're just more open. I think they're gonna let goals in more than
we're
used to.
Are you basing that
though.
Off the City game though? Because City
no,
just...
and the first game okay. because
no,
the
I
Sheffield United
say,
game was really open.
Yeah, the Chef game to me is like a valid. That's like I'll accept
it were
that.
The
but
same
the City,
to me.
But the City game, like I don't. anyone can play against City and they'll score goals. So it doesn't even matter what happened in that game.
Yeah,
to me.
No, that's fine. But I still think in both those games, like I'm watching a team that's playing just open with a lot of space in both the games. And I don't think they should have kept it clean against Sheffield United. I think that was fortunate on them. But I like one defender because the fixtures are good enough. But, you know, I don't think that this is a team that's just going to be shutting down and keeping a lot of clean. So I like one defender. But I like Jim a lot. I think it's a little
Jim
bit silly.
So good.
I think it's a little bit silly to not have Jim when you're looking at these games. Like they have five really good fixtures. A5, okay, not, you know, he's not 5-5 or like two seasons ago or 7-5 last year or 7 whatever, but he's not going to score like 30 points in these five. He's got to score something like
he's
30
too good.
At least.
Yeah,
he's just too good.
And he's on pens.
So, you know, if they get two pens in this window plus whatever he gets in open play, then you're looking at like 45 or something. And then that's, you know, that's like a game breaker.
He's so, just such a good player.
If you're on wildcard,
overlooked, the only player in FPL history to be overlooked for three straight seasons, despite just putting up like almost 200 points.
Well, he is in one in five teams right now, so let's not get carried away there.
Okay, fine. But it's just amazing.
Jim Potence, defender, seems fine. And no defender's also fine with me.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about I shouldn't be worried about Sice, but I'm a little worried about Sice keeping his spot. I mean, he's good and like he'll get his attacking shit into, but like
I don't book it
for 10 yellows. That's definitely happening again.
Yeah, I don't see that much like upside in the defense there. Like I don't see any of the defenders that I love for their price that I'm happy to have for
really?
A while. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like it. I mean, they're going to be getting the right wing backs coming in. Marchell's,
I like it.
Her,
I mean, I like 5-0, and I think they have a lot
center
of
center back.
In them.
Like I don't know, whatever. I that's the same thing as
I'd rather them than Dyer Shaw that we both started our fucking seasons with. Like that's
die,
the five. That's the 5-0
that
competition. You know, I feel but way
then,
better
so then,
than that.
So then I'm almost looking at like Everton better to me.
I don't know, close
4-5s, maybe Lamptey. I don't know.
Love Lamptey, but yeah, they do have the fixtures. But yeah, Everton's okay. Keane or something.
Jim, though. I think Jim's wild card, you want to try and figure out how to have Jim, I think.
Yeah, he's been in there for me, but...
The thing that's awkward, too,
so
is that Werner, like, you don't want Werner, but you want him because you have West Brom.
I know. If
that's a problem.
Tell me about it. I fucking know. It's a nightmare,
I just told
actually.
You.
Yeah. I wish so badly their fixtures are bad and I could just... They could just get fucked by Liverpool every week, but that's not the case. Balski, best sub 6-5 forward.
All right. How are we doing with questions? Because I want to do some wild card chat
more after this.
All right.
And I have
what
to
was
pee
the question?
After these two. Best 6-5 and under forward.
What's the best?
Honestly, Bamford. Not trolling. He just is. We just talked about how fucking insane they are. I just don't think so.
He plays 60 minutes a game and
yeah, but
it's gonna dry up. His true talent level will come forward.
Yeah, I mean, and they
that's
have,
what I'm thinking.
They have Sheffield United, City, Wolves next three, so
yeah, like I mean, that's 6 points. I think the true talent level will come through. I'm okay with no Bamfords. Mitrovic, diabolical pick. Very upsetting that he had a brace this game week.
He played Leeds. It's like
playing Leeds is
Cock's gonna get give away a pen, the huge, and then you know he got one other goal. I don't know.
I still really like Wood. I think Wood is
very super solid. But you said
safe,
you were really concerned
solid.
About Burnley. Is that only defensively?
Yeah, the defense was ridiculous, really ridiculous, but. I mean, they're playing Leicester, and Wood could have had a brace. I think he hit the bar on one instance.
Yeah.
But it was a goal was very justified, but he's just good.
Yeah.
And Burnley are just fucking Burnley. You know, they do the things, but the back line was just really bad because they have really bad players in the back four for the weekend. But it Wood's still going to have the same long balls lumped and the same things like they're going to get the little create the little
and
spaces
shit.
And shit. So, you know, Southampton, Newcastle, West Brom. There's more to come.
He's in my current wildcard tinker, so you'll be happy to hear that.
I am very happy to hear that. I'm very happy. He's good. He's just the least sexy player ever. But he's just fucking good player. He's just good. Wood's good.
Imagine like 2 years ago, us sitting here and being like, 2 years from now, Wood is going to be like a legit good forward that we're going to want in our teams. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. Love it.
And then last two questions. So they're kind of both on the same thing, but Bomber says Harvey Barnes played 90 in both games, something he rarely did last season. His XGXA numbers are through the roof. He always has a good return per 90. At what point does his 7-0 price tag become a bargain on a team that seems to be more attacking? And then Sharson said, who out of Wilf, Barnes, and James do you think will keep current form? So related questions.
I mean, James is miles above for me in that trio. But what do you
see? I actually like all three, to be honest. Like, but yeah, James is on the best. Well, maybe not the best team. Lester's good too, but James is just very, very good and more reliable with like the past. His past
they just
numbers.
They just got under in. I mean, I don't think people are properly realizing what a fraud Braj is and what he might do. He could do anything. He
Barnes
dropped Barnes
is good,
but
though.
He dropped Barnes last year when he was putting up the best performances for like a month.
Albright and
he just drops him for a month.
Yeah.
So like that's not to be forgotten.
It's very concerning.
We must remember this.
Also underrated is just like Bomber says they look more attacking than I guess he's just looking at the goal total and not what they're actually doing on the pitch. But Vardy has
they're
zero shots in
horrible.
Open play in two
games. Yeah, they look horrible. Lester looks actually horrible.
Zero shots.
Lester's like performance against Burnley was actually diabolical.
I'm wondering if Vardy finally got old, or maybe he just had two insanely bad games, but like that's shocking to me. But yeah, Barnes looks really good. He was in latest wildcard diary entry. I mean,
you can't have Barnes.
He's just good.
Yeah. No. You cannot have that.
Come what, on. In my wild card? Oh, you're upset. You're looking upset
at
me.
You can't do this to me.
He's good at football. The reason I probably won't have him is because they have City,
good.
Two good fixtures, Arsenal. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll get him. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing yet. Let me pee, and then let's talk some wild card shit.
All right.
All right, so that's all the questions. The elephant in the room is just I'm on wildcard, and it sounds like you have questions for me, so let's just go to wildcard stuff.
Yeah, that's all I want to talk about. We should have started with this.
That's okay, dude. I think we did like a quick run through. By quick, I mean like we're an hour into the episode.
Yeah, really fucking fast. So assure me that you don't have James Justin in your team anymore.
Justin, 100% not in my team.
Okay, good.
I told you
earlier. That was my only question.
He's a few weeks from being not in the team. So.
That's my only question.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Check us out.
Check us out. Come on, hit me. What do you want
to
talk about?
No, I mean, what are you doing? What's your formation? What's your structure? What's your tits? What's your tuts?
You want me to just list my current team?
Sure.
So 4-5-4-0 in the back. Keeper, I don't know, and I don't really care. I have Trent Rabo. Cody, Ward Ferguson.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. Cody, Saiz, whatever. Wolves guy.
A 5 million defender.
A 5 million defender. What do you think about my Ward Ferguson 9 million IQ play?
It's fucking zero IQ. It's stupid.
Oh, come on. It's incredible.
It's not.
It's guaranteed the Palace right back.
All right. What's the rest of the team?
I'm in a 3-4-3, so my four mids are Kevin, Raz, Foden, James.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of guys. 4-5
yeah.
Perk.
Yeah.
And then Jim, DCL, and Wood.
I don't know. I don't like that team. I don't like that team, man. I don't know. What the fuck is that team?
Why don't you like it?
You just have all City players, and then Jim, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have three lunch pail guys in the forward line. There's no question there. I just value lunch pail guys. And then.
So wait, Wood, DCL, and who's the other guy? Jim? Wood, DCL, Jim. Three City.
My three James, City.
Trent Rabo.
I'm not sure
Stainer.
About Foden, but my three City is more. The way to think about it is I have two City and like a captaincy guy because I'm going to captain them home Leicester and away Leeds. I'm going to captain whichever City guy I choose to captain, probably Kev.
Right.
And then I'm planning on transferring that probably to like a Liverpool guy or something for, you know, the next captaincy or whatever it is. I haven't mapped it out yet, but that's kind of what I'm thinking with why I'm going double. Not that I want 3 CD for
4 or 5 2 months
or whatever, you know what I mean? It's Monday, you know, don't worry.
No, I know, I'm just trying to think about, because I haven't played around with the wild card, so the price structure is like very foreign to me.
Right.
Well, so what I'm trying to think about.
Let me ask you questions. Like, what do you think about like Foden, Mahrez versus Jesus?
Like, I want Jesus, obviously, yeah, I mean, over either of them.
3 million but more, though.
I mean, I'm wondering about the Rabo. Like, is Rabo holding it hostage?
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not sold on Rabo. Like, I could easily go Trent 2 5-0s or Trent 2 4-5s, 3 4-5s rotating, stuff like that. That's very in play for sure. But I mean, I
like the concept of Rabo because it's going to be points. But
yeah, exactly. Like we said in preseason and every pod so far, is like I just want to, as best I can, guarantee I'm not making any transfers all season in defenders.
So, I mean, that's the other thing too now. Like, but that, like, okay, Trent, yes, definitely like that. But you don't think we have enough information to put 4 or 4 5s in and just go with 3 and the bench is good? Like, you put Lamptey. I don't mind KWP, like maybe a Villa guy and
Taylor or something.
Someone else somewhere, you know, someone else.
I mean, they're going to get their guys fit, right? Taylor's still probably good. Whatever it is.
Cuz no, that makes you probably, I mean, if you free up 3 million, then all of a sudden you don't have, you know, Wood with DCL, right? Then you have Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basically freeing up like 3.5 million. So I would probably do Wood to Jesus and then swap Foden for someone.
Yeah. Potence.
Swap Foden for Potence. That would leave me with even money in the bank.
Yeah. And like that's where I'm I don't mind it.
But I also think Robbo's like really, really good. And like,
no, he's definitely good.
Like I said in the diary, like he's even more aggressive and far forward than he has been in the past. You know? Like he put in 12 crosses.
I see that.
That's never happened before.
I agree with that. I see that. But I think that, you know, for right now, when we're seeing these players putting up 20 bombs, like getting the guy who might get an assist once in a while and like you're paying for the cleans, I don't know. Maybe now is when you go for these really big, like Jesus is a hat trick player. You know?
I mean, I want Jesus for sure. Yeah. He's just so good.
I mean, we talked about Son. I mean, maybe Son, you know, needs to be played with because as we see, he's fucking 4 goals. Are you kidding me? How many players in the league could score 4 goals?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? It's like, yeah, I mean, that's why I focus so much on the captaincy with the 11, 5, and 12 guys is because, dude, I could spread out my midfield and have like Son, Barnes, Wilf instead of one of those guys, basically, you know, like when the way it spreads the cash. But I want to aggressively chase the captaincy hauls and that will hopefully make it worth it, you know.
I think the other thing, too, to think about is looking at like the team that you're picking now based on the first 2 game weeks and also looking at, like in 3 or 4 game weeks in the future, like what could change so that you're not having to react? Like, can you get ahead of that some way?
What can change? Because like
that's why it's like Tony or Bruno, right? To me, is like they're players that everyone's gonna start wanting soon after they put a couple of good games up. Like you wanted Tony more than anyone for a reason.
Yes.
So one blank and one bad performance because they didn't have preseason. Yeah. Like, remember that.
Jesus,
like
maybe, is the biggest thing. He's the biggest change to me from what from preseason to now is Jesus. Knowing that Kun's out for months. Yeah. It's like, because if we knew that,
he'd be in it, no question.
No question. No question. No Not question. Even a thought at 9-5. No, like, he should be 10-5. I don't know why they priced him 9-5. Like, Kun was injured going into the season. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
So that to me is the biggest change, and that's the guy that's probably going to be ahead of Timo and Tony for me, and it's fucking weird because I want to captain Timo against like West Brom, and I want Tony all season, and fuck, you know. So
yeah, Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. That's hard. But, I mean, again, you can't fit everyone in, so
you can't. But yeah, no, I mean, it's Monday now. I want to listen if possible. I mean, it is possible. So I'm going to listen to Precog and Postmortem. I definitely want to hear those because I want to, like I said in the diary thing, I want to try and focus on those types of lesson learned things with my wild card. This is a big moment where I'm trying to design a team that's going to last me 20 weeks or whatever more. Yeah. So I'm going to do that and keep tinkering, keep doing the diary things. But yeah, I mean, a couple other wild card questions is like, we answered this.
Still think, dude, the cheap defense is good.
Yeah, I know. I think I'll probably end up there because it's just too. Like, I don't want Foden, is really what it comes
then
down
don't,
to.
Don't have him. You it's should definitely not have him if you don't want him.
No, yeah, for sure. It's just the current, the way that.
No, I know, but it's like three city, like, this looks nice. Like, I've been there before. Yeah, exactly, every year I have three city attackers at some point. But yeah, if you don't like him.
Still probably gonna, but it's just gonna be Jesus, but it'll which be is a lot better.
And Raz and Kevin. It's like, okay.
No, I mean, these questions are kind of generic wildcard questions. We don't have to go into them, I think. One other thing that you're going to hate this, but what about Rich versus DCL? Talk to me about Rich versus DCL. Because...
like both or either or what?
No, versus. Like one or the other. Because like, obviously
it's still
Rich
the price.
He's a million more, but like, we're not trying to get yesterday's points, right? We're trying to project forward into the future. What is, like, 2 months of this team looking together? Rich is basically getting as many shots as him. Like, he's in the box as much, getting as many shots.
But the chances and the positioning are not the same. Like, all shots are not created equal. And when I watch Rich, like, coming in from the flank or coming in from the wing.
Harder
shots,
like, lower XG shots.
Yeah, DCL's fucking scorpion bicycle kicking from the touch. Like, he's
in the goal.
He's in the goal. He's scoring goals.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, is that... I just don't know if that's going to persist. Or like, is he going to keep getting 1 millimeter tap in 0.98 XG goals? Or are they kind of going to fucking score evenly, getting equalish chances and equalish shots? And Rich creates a trillion, like, DCL can't pass. We covered that earlier. Like, it's a weird thing. He just got a hattie. He's probably going to triple rise this week. And I'm trying to project ahead of time and be like, is Rich actually better?
So are you actually considering DCL not having him and having Rich?
Yeah, that's why I asked you.
Yeah, I don't even have time for that. He's just cheaper, and you started with him at 7. It's just a million is ridiculous. That's not, if they're the same price, we'd have this conversation. It's a ton. And he's playing in the middle of the box. No, but I mean, this is dumb. Like, this is a stupid thing. To me, it's like, do I want both? Because they have a few good fixtures, right? Like, 4 of the next 5 are great. So maybe you want both. Like, okay, let's sit down and have a conversation about that. But no, it's not acceptable.
Okay.
It's not acceptable. And Rich, I mean, dude, DCL is an influence 1 of 66.
I didn't realize that. To be fair, I didn't look at the ICT.
ICT index, 1 of 66.
This is overall ICT 3. He's third best player in the fucking game.
And Rich is 6, not 3.
He's twice as bad.
He's twice as bad.
Yeah, okay. I didn't realize the ICT speaks volumes.
But I mean, I understand what you're saying. You know, you watch the game and Rich is like blazing and doing all these things, and that's nice and fun. But
yeah, I'm just trying to.
The millions is huge.
This is like a diary entry type of thing that we normally wouldn't talk about, right? Where I'm trying to predict, like you said, like, who's the next trend guy? And, like, there's a world where, like, Rich scores their next 3 goals with 2 assists or something, you know? And it's just, like, everyone starts getting rich. But that's, you know, for another day. Plenty more diary entries and tinkering to come.
But it's still, it's like, when you have Jim and Jesus and DCL, it's just, he doesn't fit.
Much money.
He just doesn't fit. They're all sort of the same price. And even Werner's, well, he's more expensive. But even 8, right? Like, Jim 8.5. Ings, you know, they're too many guys to pick Rich, I think.
I mean, that's the hardest part of wildcard in general, is that there's more guys than ever. And there's more goals than ever. It's like, what the fuck? There's so many guys. There's so many structures. Like, yeah, but it's fun. It's fun. I'll keep doing it. Anything else you want to talk about, or should we just go to captains and our teams and shit?
I'm trying to think more about your wild card, about what's interesting to me, but defense, midfield, forwards. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, what do you think about me going without a Liverpool guy? We didn't talk about that. That's what I wrote about in diary. I mean, sorry, without Mo or Mane. Attacker.
I don't mind it as much, you know, looking at, you know, Arsenal, Everton, two of the next three, and then, you know, a couple good homers.
And Wolves and City?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're 12 million, so it's the same thing that we talked about on preseason. If you're not going to be captaining them, then they might not be your returning value. So,
basically, yeah.
You know, when you're wild carding and you're looking at this, you know, blank slate, then yeah, it's hard to justify when, you know, City today, okay, they only scored a few. I mean, the third was, you know, at the end of the game, but, and they kind of took their foot off the gas, but they could have scored four or five, right, in open play. And Liverpool, they played Chelsea against 10 men and they were just passing it back and forth for fucking a half an hour.
Just hanging out.
They weren't
out.
Even trying to score.
Hanging out.
So it's the same thing that we talk about with them is like, if they go up 1-0, 2-0, like they don't go for six like City.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't mind it. I really don't mind it. But cool. I still think Mo looks really good.
He looks.
You know, he could
so
double
good.
Return every game for the next 2 months, as far as I'm concerned.
He honestly looks. It's been a while since he looked like this. Like,
yeah. So I think that's the only thing that I would be a little bit worried about is how he looked. And then I also look, right, as ICT rank for midfielders.
Oh, my God.
Influence, two. Creativity, one. Threat, one.
Threat,
ICT index, one.
ICT index,
overall,
one.
ICT
overall
index,
one.
One.
Let's go.
One.
Mo Salah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Got to factor
if you
that
don't
in.
Want the number one overall ICT index player on your team, then you don't have to have him.
Jesus. I don't even know what these things mean. Form 11.5?
Yeah,
does that mean
11.5.
He's underperforming his price?
Or is
it just
definite,
a completely different scale?
Yeah. 11.5
out of 10 form?
Yeah. The scout figured that out.
Yeah, the scout. Okay.
The official FPL podcast figured that out.
Unbelievable. AC yes, Jimbo.
Believe it. It's great.
Great. Okay, let's go on. Couple captaincy questions. Wolfgang Jones, do we always cap against West Brom? And then Bodie, should we be targeting Leeds fixtures from a rival attacker standpoint like West Brom and Fulham? So, yeah, I mean, we kind of answered that already. Yes, yeah, yes.
Captain Ollie Burke.
Yeah, basically. So let's scroll down to our little fixture ticker here. Oh, Chelsea have West Brom. Very good. Aston Villa have Fulham and Sheffield United have Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Werner, but I don't know. This is the fixture over form pick, and I don't like it. Doesn't feel good.
It is, but I think that he still looks kind of threatening. Like, you would never say that he's in form or Chelsea are in form, but he's still like the furthest forward and kind of dangerous guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's playing right back like Kai.
Yeah.
And ripped off at half or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, it's kind of a tough captaincy week. I mean, there's Werner against West Brom. There's City guys home Leicester, which is probably where I'll be.
Yeah. Raz.
But then who else? Like, I mean, you can captain Mo home Arsenal, but it's not the same Arsenal.
Yes. Chase those goals with Swanee.
Son against Newcastle is an actual shout.
Bruce doesn't know how to manage.
They're really bad.
Yeah, they're red.
Who else do you even like?
I think that's about it. There's not a lot of options, I think.
Yeah,
I think City, definitely.
I mean, what about United? I mean, they did
Brighton are good. Like,
yeah, Brighton are kind of good.
You don't... This is the thing that I'm starting to finally learn. You don't captain against good teams. Like, I was talking to many people on Discord this week about Mo against Chelsea.
Yeah.
About, you know, oh, he fucking hat-trick so good. It's like, okay, like, yeah, dude, but they're good with good players. Yeah, they're going to lose, but they're good. And Mo could have had an assist or something, but why would you take that risk of captaining your good player against a good team, and you can capture your good player against one of the worst teams in the league? You don't do that thing. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense.
What about Jim?
Yeah. I don't hate that away. Yeah. Well, West Ham. Yeah.
Kind of reasonable.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's a tough captaincy week, though. I think it's like pretty... I don't think there's one standout option.
I agree with that. Who, if you went for City, is that Raz or is that Kevin?
Probably Kevin.
Yeah.
It gives me like displeasure because I love Raz and I have always been a Raz guy.
Yeah.
And the pens and shit, like, I don't know. Justin's not going to concede a pen. You're really going to sell me that? Like, come on.
No, I'm not.
That's a fucking joke.
Werner, though, is just West Brom. It's hard for me to see past that, honestly. It's like, because do I imagine 4 or 5 from City against Leicester? I don't. I really don't. But I could see that from Chelsea.
Well, yeah, West Brom are just capable of anything.
But that's the thing. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, there's no limit on West Brom.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I don't know what I'm going to do yet because I don't even know who's on my fucking team yet. But maybe it'll be Wood, home Southampton. They could take advantage of the high line, you know?
Brownhill, 6 assists.
Brownhill. All right, and then, well, we talked about my team a lot. What are you looking at but with your team?
So I made my move this morning. I did, or after the City game, I brought Kevin in for Obs.
Oh, okay, good job by you. Dude, everyone did that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the position to sit here and...
Yeah, that's the correct move.
Yeah, I get Raz, like, fun, cool, like, fun guy, like him, really nice, really cool. But, you know, it's just, give me Kevin... So basically,
Obs with one shot against West Brom.
No, fucking forget it. Holding Obs.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Absurd to me. If anyone's holding Obs is beyond my comprehension. I can't have that. But like, I have Mo, Kevin, Bruno. Mo, like, Kevin, I feel fine.
That's great.
Like, I'm gonna get. I have a pens, points, pens and points. Pens and points.
PP. You guys have a team PP. Yeah.
Like, give me that, and the rest of my team, okay, maybe I'm starting Anguissa again, but, you know.
Dude, pens of points. It even rolls up the fucking... I'm really into that. It's like pots and pans.
If I'm not getting points from those three fucks, then I'm going to have a bad week, like I did this week. Yeah, if I get one assist from them three, like I did with Obs, Mo, and Bruno, then I have a red arrow. But when I get 35 points, which is going to happen this week, it'll be great.
Yeah. All right.
Shaw, Dyer.
Are you looking at a hit, though, because you have your 11 players in Guisa? Or...
I mean, is that a problem?
Zambinho? I don't know.
I mean, I have 0.5 in the bank now, but no, I mean, I'm not really seeing anything. Like, I don't want a 5 million. I don't want a 4 or 5 defender. So I'm thinking about starting Anguisa again.
Okay.
Do you see anything else? I don't know.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 defenders probably better. Like Ferguson to a 4 or 5. No, if you were going to start someone over him. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has Villa. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean,
he was very impressive, honestly. Like, he was really good. Yeah.
Because the other thing, too, is, I mean, I'm probably...
do think it's a problem going forward, though.
Dude... Definitely a problem.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure. Because I know you like him, but it's like not
good. No, it's a fucking problem. Okay, he plays DM. Okay. It's a problem.
Okay.
What do you think about Trossard moving forward? Because he's been a good servant, but I'm still like, he feels like very lightweight and problematic to me.
I watched highlights, obviously, but I didn't watch the full match. And it sounds like everything you told me, he was very active and very good.
Yeah, he was.
Manchester United don't have good players in the back line.
He could be fine.
Everton have a lot of Pickford-type players. And I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if they're looking good, like, they put up two really good performances. Trossard was good in both. Doesn't feel like a problem to me with their upcoming fixtures. It might turn into one, but yeah.
Basically, it's just where do I get more money? Because if I get a 4-5 defender in, is that my start every week guy? Like, I have a problem.
No, you. It sounds like you want Anguissa to be like Potence, right?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe the answer is I hit Werner out. I don't know. Like
Werner and Anguissa to Jim and Potence and just go all in on Wolves after this week or something?
Yeah, I could do that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of tricky.
I think I just start Anguissa, and I don't really
Shaw's
want to take
about
a hit.
To be like a non-playing player in like a few
That's
days.
A new problem for me. Great.
You might wildcard this week. Is that
true or false? No, dude, my team's good.
Yeah, your team's good, but if Shaw's a non-playing player and Ferguson's a non-playing player, you know, and Brewster, and Brewster doesn't get transferred, and it's like you start running into a lot of problems.
I realized this week...
Dyer's also the worst player on Spurs. Dyer.
Love Dyer.
Like
love him.
Okay.
Taking hits is not that bad.
Yeah, no, it's not. I agree.
It's not that bad. So
no, we went through a weird phase in our tween years, prepubescent, like, where we were like, hits are bad, but like hits
they're
are great.
Not. They're not bad.
Hits like are bread and hits are butter.
If you target the games that are exploitable, then the hits are fine.
Yeah,
so,
fine.
I'll just keep taking hits. I'm fine.
And just never use your wild card.
I'll let it expire. Yeah. I don't need it. Don't need it.
It would be
so what
really...
you're telling me is that my defense is such a mess because I have Shaw and Dyer that I needed a wild card?
I'm saying that this after this week might be your wild card.
I can't accept that.
Because
if that's the case, then I would want a wild card right now.
Well, let's see. I mean, United usually fuck their transfers up. They might not get Telus. They usually just rumored with everyone and don't get anyone.
But even if they do get Telus, like, okay, then I just transfer Shaw out. Like, Werner's not bad. It's not a
problem. Of course not.
But where are my problems?
Anguissa's starting every week.
Problem. But so what, dude? I get 10 men first week. Anguissa 5 points, like 10 men. Like, it's,
I guess.
If I get 2 points in my 11th man, like,
Shaw
I don't
to
care.
4-5 and Anguissa to Potence is exacties, right?
Yeah, but is there a 4-5 that I could. Well, Potence will probably go up this week, but is there a 4-5 that I could start, like, every week? That seems insane.
Lamptey?
Well, I have 3 Brighton, bro. Can't have 4.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
triple weed. He's a triple weedman.
This is too deep. It doesn't matter. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Let me slap asses.
Fucking long ass pod, dude. We need to cut. It's too long.
Hour and a half is just like the new standard for us. It's really fucked up. All right, let me slap asses.
And we're back on Friday my life.
Yeah, Friday my life. This week, we got a bunch of new signups still trickling in. Discord as crazy and active as ever. We got Martin, Kay, Fabe, Tim, Sam Sitch, Chris Benson, Joe Fuller, Liam Ryan, Morgan Adcock. That's a name. Victor Lerero, Matt Ritchie, Matt Weber, Ludwig Dahlbeck, James Thompson, Genki McClure, and Steve Schaap. Slap the asses, baby. Get in there. Oh, brother. Any last words?
It's a good job by you.
Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter @fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, cheers!